Praise God. You know why the Dead Sea is dead, don't you? The Dead Sea over in Israel has no outlet. An ocean needs an outlet to be alive. And a super high salt content doesn't help any more further either. But you know, the Dead Sea has no outlet to flow out. And so there's a principle in our life when it pertains to giving, like Terry was sharing about. First, you know, you receive your check. It's like inhale, exhale. A thing's not living unless it's inhale, exhale, right? And so you inhale, you take in your paycheck, you take in your you know, whatever gifts God gives you, and then you exhale. And in that exhale, it's a moment of faith. It's a moment of trust, isn't it? Because for a temporary moment, more has gone out. So what do? You trust God, you inhale again. Amen? And that's what life involves that. And so your giving is a way of just exhale, inhale, exhale, inhale. Amen? It's good to keep that pump primed. Good to keep our hearts generous in that generous place, in that place of realizing it's only as I exhale that I can take in another breath. As we exhale, we take in another breath. That way, right? Praise the Lord. So God bless you as you give today. Amen. Some of you are giving by faith. And I want to say thank you again. Many of you have continued to just give and give and give to the building fund. And we're reaching our goals. We're not quite where we need to be, but we're getting there. And I'm just touched every week. Every gift that comes in of any size, you guys are just being so overwhelmingly generous. And so God bless you. And I expect miracles. I expect some new millionaires to pop up in 2024 in this congregation. Folks that have just been sowing, and it's your harvest time. Amen. God's going to bring it in. You don't have to know how. You just have to say, it's me, Lord.
Amen.
And just put yourself in that position to receive. Amen. By faith. Well, we've got a couple quick announcements. We have an event tonight. If you'll put that slide up for the Yams and Yazzes, young adults, young marrieds. Is it young marrieds too? It's all of them, all the yas, all the whys, young anything. If you're young and but over 18, all right, you're welcome to to the Rotary House, right, at 5 o'clock tonight. They're gonna have a big yard barbecue. It's gonna be a great time. Hey, ladies, take the night off. You don't have to cook, right? Just come on out, enjoy some good food, and be blessed. Amen. See Ben or Audrey. I think they're both in the back today for details. So if you need to find Ben or Audrey for any questions, yes. Do you have a question?
Yes, we're kind of new around here.
Yes. Young is, I think it's less than 50, this way they count it.
Yeah.
So we have another group called LPs if you're over 50, so you'll have to wait for their next event. This is under 50. I know we got a lot of young at heart. We got a lot of young at heart in here, amen? Praise the Lord. All right, and I got two slides here I want to show you real quick. A graduate, is there an LP? Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, forgot about that. Yeah, wow, that's coming up quick. June 2nd, LP event. There you go. There's the answer to your question right there. June 2nd, 4:30. Next week is your event. All right? So if you're over 50, come to that event. Praise the Lord. We had a graduation recently of one of our members, Lewis Cowan. He's now living near Corpus Christi, so he's a non-resident member of our congregation, but a blessing. And he happens to be here today. And so go ahead, put that up there. Look at there. It's awesome. Lewis just completed 2 years of Bible college through Andrew Womack's ministry with Karis Bible College. And he's got two friends in here that also completed, right? Terry, raise your hand, Miss Terry. Terry Jones over here. And yes, Joan Snover. These are new folks around here to us, so I'm getting used to the names. Praise the Lord. So these are graduates. They've studied the Word. They've been doing their homework, and they are blessed. Amen. And he actually spoke at the commencement ceremony. So we're really proud of Lewis for all he's achieved in the Lord, and just bless the Lord. And y'all continue to pray and ask for God's direction on all three of these that have graduated, that the Lord will continue to lead them in what he has for them to do. I know they're going to go out and shake the world in Jesus. Amen. Hey, I want to show you two quick slides. One is a book called The Storehouse Principle. You have that one?
Yep.
The Storehouse Principle is a book that was actually written years ago by Pastor Al Jandel right here in Alvin. And he wrote it in conjunction with a guy named Van Crouch. He and Van Crouch wrote this book. It is an excellent, excellent resource. If you need more insight into what God wants to do in your finances, get this book. It's on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and get it, The Storehouse Principle. Because the Bible says, Terry shared the verse this morning from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, where it says, honor the Lord with your substance, right? And then your barns will burst forth. What's a barn? It's a form of a storehouse.
Amen.
And if you don't have a storehouse is something every believer should set up. What is a storehouse? It's not a physical place, although it involves it sometimes. You got to get your money in a bank. But if it's a mental thing, it's a mental thing where you say, I'm putting this money away as my storehouse money. And I'm trusting the Lord to bless it. Anyways, there's more in the book about it, so I want to encourage you to get that book. Read that book. It'll bless you. Also, I have two resources here I want to share with you. There's a lot of talk about Israel these days. And if you'll go to CBN's website, CBN is Pat Robertson's ministry, like the 700 Club. CBN has two. You got those, Alan? Doesn't matter. Yep. Okay, this is an excellent, excellent movie. You can just donate $5, $10, $20 to the CBN ministry, and they will send you the digital download. You can watch this right on your phone, or you can cast it to your smart TV. You say, I'm not sure if I have a smart TV. Then yours is dumb. All right? I switched to a smart TV a couple years ago because I could watch things. I don't have to look at this little screen anymore. I can send it to the big screen, all right? So get you a smart TV if yours is dumb. And listen, if you want to find out, you want to understand, you say, you know, there's a lot of history behind Israel. There's a lot of talk about whose land is it. This is an excellent watch that will give you so much history. In about 2 hours' time, you'll walk away like an expert. Like, you'll really have a deep understanding of why there's so much fighting over the land of Israel. And whose land is it really? Well, we know whose it is. It's from the Bible, the Jews, right? But this will tell you a lot of historical background. So check out that resource. It's excellent. The other one is called The Hope. And this talks about the founding of the nation of Israel that just happened in this last century, around 1948. They became a nation, a recognized nation. That hadn't happened for some 2,000 years. That is hugely significant in our lifetime. Amen? Those of you that were born before 2000, our lifetime, I say it. So both of those resources are available on CBN's website. Like I said, you just make a donation, and then they'll give you the digital download. You unlock it there on your phone. You can watch them at your leisure. Amen? I want to encourage you to watch those. Praise the Lord. I like what Marilyn Hickey said this week regarding the current events in our world. She said, don't just watch the news, change it. Don't just watch the news. Change it in Jesus' name with the power of Jesus. Amen. I really believe in that. We should inform ourselves with the news, but don't be hung up on it. We should be making change. We are a thermostat, not a thermometer. That's right. You know the difference? A thermometer just tells you what is. A thermostat makes changes.
That's right.
We're called to make changes. Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. All right. You ready to get into the word today?
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles, please, to Matthew 28. We'll start there. Matthew 28. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer. We need his help, don't we?
Amen.
He is the great teacher. I was thinking this week about the fivefold ministry. You know, the fivefold ministry is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right?
Yep.
You know, Jesus was all five of those.
Yes.
No wonder he can give them away. He was the great apostle of our faith, the sent one. He was a prophet. Amen. He was a prophet of God. He declared the word of God. He was an evangelist. Everywhere he went, he brought the good news to people. That's what an evangelist does through healings and miracles and preaching. That's what an evangelist does. He was the great pastor, the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews calls him. He was the great teacher. He taught everywhere he went. He is all five of those gifts. Amen. And so this morning, he is here in his spirit presence. Amen. Not physically. We can't see Jesus, but his spirit is here. And he will teach us if we lean on him. Amen. So, Lord, we look to you right now. Open our eyes. Give us understanding. Help us to grow in you as we hear your word, hear your voice in the Holy Spirit's name, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Well, I want to start by saying this. The just shall live by faith. We are learning that step by step, month by month. The Lord hasn't enabled me to step away from that idea yet. We preached a lot on it before Christmas. About moving mountains, right? Mark 11:23, whosoever says unto this mountain, right? Because we are people who make changes in our world by faith.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, I haven't seen the answer yet, Pastor. Well, I want to tell you something. That's what faith is all about.
Yeah.
Faith will hold you over while you're not seeing something.
Amen.
In fact, if you're not seeing it, you're not feeling it, great. That means you're in the faith club.
That's right.
Right? The just shall live by, let's put it this way, the just shall live by not seeing it yet. Now, it eventually will manifest. We will see it physically, but not quite yet. The just shall live by not seeing. The just shall live by not feeling, right? But there will be a glow in your emotions when the answer comes. Amen? So just wait for it, right? As they say, just wait for it. The emotions will come. The seeing will come. But for the meantime, those who are going to live right before God are those who walk by faith. Amen? And that's you and I. We are a faith bunch. That's in our name. Believers Fellowship, right?
Right.
Well, last week we talked about the name of Jesus, the authority that's in his name. We talked about the power of attorney. Do you remember? Power of attorney is something that's given to a person to act on behalf of another person in their what? Their absence. When they're not there, right? The power of attorney is given. The book of Acts in the Bible is actually, in some of your Bibles, it gives the formal complete title, the Acts of the Apostles, right? Because these were the actions, the acts that were carried out by the apostles in Jesus' absence. Are you with me? And we saw in Acts chapter 3 that Peter exercised this power of attorney. He said what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name. Well, he didn't say thee. He said you, but King James is thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he lifted a man who hadn't walked for all of his life. Now, that's a miracle. Because if you don't use muscles, what happens? They gone. This man had no muscles in his legs. Instantaneously, muscles came to life and gained enough strength to fill an adult leg. Are you with me? They weren't just baby muscles. How many of you know a baby can't walk yet? My grandson started a little bit late, but we got him going. It's full exercise. It's full on now. But those legs in that man, they came to life, and they not only gave him the power to walk, they were adult-sized muscles. Isn't that miraculous? When you think about what really was involved there, when Peter lifted him up, and it all happened because Peter exercised the name.
That's right.
The name and the power that's in the name of Jesus in Jesus' absence.
That's right.
By the way, I thought of a great Old Testament example of this authority we're talking about. You remember the life of Joseph. You remember when Joseph was finally promoted, right? And the Bible says that he was lifted out of prison. He became what? Second in command over Egypt. Second in command. The Pharaoh made this statement. He said, only in regard to the throne will I be higher than you. What's he saying there? He's saying, only with regard to sovereign authority. In other words, Joseph, you can do anything you want in Egypt, but you're not going to overthrow me. That's what he was saying. That is the same example of authority that Jesus gives us. We are not God, but he gives us all the authority that he has, which is the Son of God's authority. Only in regard to the throne will we not be higher than him. Are you with me? We will never be God. So you can always tell when someone's starting to drift a little bit. They see some healings and miracles in their ministry, and the next thing you know, they're saying, well, I might be the Messiah. Well, you're out of here. Right? Because they've just tried to exalt themselves above the throne, the sovereign authority of. But for everything lower than that, we're good.
Yes.
Amen? Pharaoh said, only in regard to the throne will I be higher than you. But for everything else, Joseph, you can run Egypt. That's the same level of authority Jesus gives you and I. He said to his disciples, you heal the sick. Now, I know that's a kind of a gray area, but technically, when we go forth in his name, we are healing the sick in his place. Are you with me? The power is not in us. It's through us. But technically, we, as representatives of him, we are healing the sick here on earth because he's no longer here. By the way, let me say this about Joseph. This is a fascinating thing. Because any man or woman of God who was ever used greatly, at some point in their development, in their growth, their preparation time was separated, most likely from family and friends. It's true. Look at any of the great men in the Old Testament. David fled Saul, lived in the desert. Moses fled Egypt, lived in the desert. Joseph carried away from his family. Of course, that wasn't a bad family to get separated from, was it?
Yeah.
How'd you like to be hooked up with those guys, that bunch? They made fun of him because he's dreaming. Father even said, huh, what, are you going to be greater than your mother and I? Some family, isn't it? His brothers sold him. They wanted to kill him. God said, I got plans for you. So he took him out of that environment temporarily. Moved him into prison. You know, you can do a lot of thinking in prison. You can do a lot of internal growing in prison. You can have a lot of character development happen in prison. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph. For 17 years or more, he was in prison. And during that time, character was building. What kind of character? The kind of character that would flee a beautiful woman making advances at him that could have been, you know, disastrous for his destiny, his purpose in life. That man had some character. The kind of character that could forgive his brothers for what they did to him. So I want to say this to you. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to step into his greatness, there may be a season in your life where God calls you out from your family. I'm talking about your natural kin. Why? Because all of our kin doesn't always follow Jesus fully like we are. Amen? And if you've got to be separated, be separated.
Amen.
You can choose. You can have social life or you can have God's destiny for your life. But you'll see that principle all throughout the Word. Any greatness that happened in a man or woman's life, at some point they were most likely separated from the familiar. What did God say to Abraham? Come here, Abraham. Come out from under the tent. Look at the stars. Count them if you can. What was God doing? He was expanding Abraham's vision, his horizon. You know, his nephew Lot was a thorn in his side. And it says later that finally the shepherds of both groups came to a point of such disagreement. They said, I'll tell you what, if you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. And they separated. And the next verse says, and when they separated, God said, "Look, lift up your eyes." What was he doing? He gave Abraham a brand new perspective the minute Lot was removed from his life. The name Lot means veil, like a covering, something that blocks your view. So if God has separated you from folks you used to run with, don't fight it. It's God. Now, God loves family. I love family. It's great when family gets along. Amen? Scripture says that. Psalm 133. It's great when brethren get along together in unity. But I'm telling you, if there's a preparation season that happens in your life and God begins separating you from people, don't fight that. You're fighting against the greatness God wants to build in you. You can go back and get them later. What did Joseph do? He sent wagons back for his family later. You can go back and get them later. But rise to your greatness. Rise to your destiny in the Lord. Don't let anything keep you back. That's a message for someone. It's not in my notes. Matthew 28, are you there? Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Say all power.
All power.
All power. All is a little word, but it encompasses a whole bunch. Don't read a small word in the Bible and be led astray by it and think, oh, it's just a small word. Jesus is just talking fluffy. Jesus didn't talk fluffy. Whatever he said, he meant. If he said all, he meant all.
That's right.
The Milky Way galaxy and every other galaxy that's out there, all. Eureka Springs and Niagara Falls, all. Alvin, Texas, all of Texas, all. Are you with me?
Yes.
He said all, he means all. When he was here on earth, he demonstrated that. He had power over the wind and the waves, all the elements. Jesus is saying here, all power is given to me over mankind, over spirits, that's good and bad spirits, right? Angels, demons, over nature, over the law of physics, even over time itself. Now, time would seem like something that nobody would have control over. Did you know Jesus has control over your time? There's a story in the book of Acts where Philip was translated. Do you know what translated means?
Mm-hmm.
Where it might normally take you, say, a half a day's walk to go 7-10 miles. Philip was instantly transported there. What did God do? He overrode time.
Yeah.
He overrode the physics of distance. See, we're limited in this world by what? Matter and time.
Yeah.
Right? It takes you so long to go from Alvin to Houston because there's the distance. Well, in God, there's no distance. So when Jesus says, all authority is given unto me, all power is given unto me. Some of your translations say that, right? All authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's actually the true translation of the Greek word power there. It says in the King James, it says all power is given unto me. And it can mean both. It can mean like might and strength. Specifically, that Greek word there, exousia, means permission, privilege, and right. Jesus is saying, I got permission for everything. Who'd he get it from? The Father. I got privilege for all. Who'd he get it from? The Father. I have all power. I have all might. I have all strength. I have all privilege. I can bend the laws of physics. I can bend the laws of nature. Jesus has both. How many of you know right now we see in our world oftentimes when battles are fought by different countries, the political guys get too caught up in things and they tie the soldier's hands. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how great the weapon is in the hands of that soldier. If the politicians tie their hands and say, well, you can't take a shot till they take a shot at you. How dumb is that?
Yeah.
Right? They make these stupid rules. These guys, these hands are limited. Why? Because their authority has been limited. They've got the power.
Yeah.
We've given them the weapons. They've got great rifles, scopes, everything. But they've been limited in what? Their authority.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is saying here, I got no limitations on my authority or my power, my strength.
Praise the Lord.
You might say it this way. Jesus has nuclear power, right? When we talk about, it's kind of a, I think it's still in style to say this. I don't know. Some people will say, so-and-so went nuclear on him, right? What we're saying is, so-and-so unleashed on somebody and they didn't hold back. They unleashed their whole force, right? We call it going nuclear. We used to say go postal. We don't say that anymore, but that's about 30 years ago. People would go postal. Now they go nuclear, right? Because we're trying to think of words that mean the fullest expression of power. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus is nuclear. And we shared with you a little bit Wednesday night, those of you that come out on our Wednesday night group, our Bible study. By the way, if you're not familiar with it, we meet at the Rotary House here in town. It's called the Alvin Rotary Chamber or whatever, Rotary House. And we meet from 7 to 8. We do a quick Bible study. We get you out at 8 so you can get home and get to bed on time. Ephesians 3:20, we talked about Wednesday night, how that Jesus said, be glory in the church. Jesus has released all his power, and that's what we call glory. Yes. There's glory in the church.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus has specifically designed the church to be the safe structure in which God's power can operate. It's a safe structure. Amen? What I mean by that, we have prophets in our midst, we have leadership, we have structure of in the churches, elders, deacons, structure of servants, pastors, etc. All this structure God gives us in the church house serves to steward his power so it's not used inappropriately. Hey, do you realize the power of Jesus, it is like nuclear power. And nuclear power is what? It's dangerous in the wrong hands, right? If you're running a nuclear plant, you know they got lots of rules out there. There's certain ways to handle power. Basic electricity, for example. There are certain laws you have to abide by or you want to get shocked, right? This is the way it is with the power of God. And Jesus said, I'm all powerful. I have no limits. And quite honestly, to think or conceive of using that much power, putting it in our hands at our disposal is quite overwhelming to most of us. In fact, most of the time we're pretty hesitant to use it. Too much so. And so this message today is not as much a message to bring you new truth as much as it is to provoke you to do something with what you already got. To use his power. Amen? I like what E.W. Kenyon points out in a book written by Brother Hagin called The Name of Jesus. He says we have three or four reasons to be considered that we have the right to use his name, the right to the name of Jesus. It's a powerful name. Amen? And number one is we were born into God's family. If you're taking notes, just write born. We were born into God's family. What does that mean? By birth, we have the right to the name. Right?
Yes.
If you're a Johnson, you're a Johnson. You're in the family. And the more you grow in understanding of what that name means to your family, you can operate within the scope of that family's name. We were born into God's family. We have right to the name and the power of the name of Jesus because we are in the family of God. Amen. Number two, we were baptized in the name. All right? If you were water baptized and they did it appropriately, they would have said something along the lines of, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or in Jesus' name. Either way, when you say the Son, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Amen? So we were baptized, literally, we were water baptized into the name of Jesus. Thirdly, we were commissioned as ambassadors of that name. What am I talking about? What we just read in Matthew 28, because if you read on, we didn't read it, but the next verse says, now you go into all the world, right? So Jesus commissioned his disciples. He commissions us to carry the name forth. We are ambassadors or envoys, if you will. I like that word envoy. It's very sophisticated sounding. I'm an envoy. What are you? I'm an envoy of the kingdom. I'm a representative. Amen. He has commissioned us. Mark 16. Go ye into all the world. Matthew 28, 19. Go. Now you go, right? And make disciples of all nations. He has commissioned us to use that name. The title of my message today, by the way, is Invoking the Name. Invoking the Name. What does the word invoke mean? It means to put into effect, to call for action, to call for action. Jesus has given us his name when we need something accomplished. His name is like his seal or his, you might say it's like his authorized signature. When you do banking transactions, you need what? An authorized signature. And sometimes you even have to go a step beyond that. Notarize, right? Jesus has given us notary authorization of his name for transacting in this world. Amen. We are the body. He is the head. What he wants to accomplish, he will impulse through the body to bring about in the earth. Amen. Listen, I like what Kenyon also points out. There's no special faith required to use the name. There should be no special faith. In other words, if you go to the bank and you know you have $1,000 in your savings account, you shouldn't hesitate. You shouldn't feel inferior in any way or hesitant in any way to put that deposit slip and say, I need 100. Give me 100.
Exactly.
Now, you may say that kind of, you know, without any respect or unusual air of reverence to your bank account. You wouldn't approach God flippantly. I'm not saying you approach him just say, give me. But we have the same confidence when we approach God, that through the name of Jesus, what we need to draw on is ours. It's yours for the asking in the name of Jesus. It's that kind of confidence. Listen, a child expects 3 meals a day, right? I mean, I don't know about your house. We eat 3 and snacks in between sometimes. So a child will confidently say, in fact, sometimes he won't even say anything. He'll just go to the refrigerator. Why? Because he's in the family.
Yeah.
You're in the family. You have access to the name of Jesus. When you need something, yeah, use the name. I want to go back to that first point. We were born into God's family. Mm-hmm. That gives us legitimate use of the name.
Yep.
Not by our perfection, but by our birth.
Yes.
Hear me on that. If you need something from the Father today and you feel like, well, I've not been living appropriately lately. I've not been perfect lately. I don't have all my ducks in a row. I'm just still working on this area of my life, or I'm so out of whack over here. It doesn't matter. It's not your perfection that gives you legal right to the name. It's your birth. Your birth into the family of God. What does Romans 10:13 say? Well, let's look at it. Romans 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 10. Look, turn over there with me. Some of you can quote this if you know the Romans road to salvation. Romans 10:13. Everybody should have learned the Romans road. Thank you, Lord, that I was in a church that taught me the Romans road as a child. You know what that is? There's a series of scriptures throughout the book of Romans that talk all about how to be saved. And this is one of them, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call. Not whosoever deserves the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're never worthy of the name. Are we worthy of the name of Jesus? Whosoever shall call. You just got to know where the source is. Are you with me? You got to know who the source is. You don't have to be deserving of the source. You don't have to qualify before the source. You just have to know who to go to. Right? What do they say out in the business world? It's not what you know, it's who you know. That's what Romans 10:13 is saying. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Who is that? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So we calleth. We don't deserveth. We calleth. Amen? Look at Psalms 18:3. Psalms 18:3. Somebody made a good song out of this years ago. Psalm 18:3. We used to sing it back in the 80s. Psalm 18, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Not because I'm worthy to be praised. He is. Amen? So shall I be saved from my enemies. Right? And then down in verse 46, the Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. All right, we'll stop there. So, whoso calls on the name of the Lord, I will call on the name of the Lord. It's there to be called on. Why does the name of the Lord exist? Because he knows people need his help.
That's right.
So use the bat phone, right? Or whatever you want to use as an analogy. The bat phone, well, that may go back too far for some of you. Batman had a phone in his mansion there, right? The Gotham mansion, and it would blink. It was red, right?
Yep.
Bright red. A little light would flash on. That meant somebody needs help. So you call the bat phone when you need help. The commissioner would call and say, Batman, we need you, right? Listen, this is not a pleading or a begging call on the name of the Lord. This is a confident call. Say confident call. What is a confident call? A confident call is based on, again, relationship. When I was growing up, and even as an adult, when I'd go over to my mom's house, I'd just, you know, make my way to the fridge, just kind of snoop around there, see what's in there. Why? Because I'm in the family. Mm-hmm. Right? Or I can ask, hey, Mom, get me such and such to drink. It's a confident request based on relationship, or biblically speaking, we would say based on covenant. Yep. Say covenant.
Covenant.
We have a covenant with the Lord. Let me give you a beautiful example of covenant, people calling on calling on help based on covenant. In Joshua chapter 10 in the Old Testament, if you want to turn over there, we'll read a few verses there real quick. Joshua, a couple books to the left. Joshua chapter 10. What an amazing guy, Joshua, huh? And this story that we're reading about real quick is actually the story, if you know what one of the things Joshua was famous for, of course, one of them was what? The walls of Jericho.
Yes.
The other one was what? He made time stand still.
Yep. Amen.
He told the sun to stand still in the heavens and God obeyed him.
Yep.
Time stood still for Joshua so he could finish the battle. That was this battle we're going to read about here. In Joshua chapter 10, there was a group of people, if you read Joshua chapter 9, that had come to Israel and deceived them because they didn't want to be slaughtered like all the other giants and Canaanites and Hittites and otherites. They came to them by deception and said, hey, we've come from afar. Look at our worn out clothes and sandals and our moldy bread. We've come from a faraway place and we want to make a treaty with you. That's what happened in Joshua chapter 9. And Joshua was duped because he didn't seek the Lord. He was fooled by them and he made an agreement with them. And then he'd come to discover they're like his next door neighbors. And there was one of the groups that he was supposed to slaughter, the Gibeonites. But he said, I got to honor my oath. I told you I wouldn't kill you, so I got to honor it. So they became his woodcutters, his water carriers. They became his servants. That's Joshua chapter 9. Now we're in Joshua 10. Are you there?
Yeah. Yes.
Look at verse 4. The Gibeonites are being attacked and they say, come up and help us. Oh, excuse me. No, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong part. Come up and attack. Help me. These are the bad guys talking. These are the other kings around Gibeon. And they said, come up and help me attack Gibeon. He said, now look at this. Get your pens and highlighters out right here. Because it, speaking of the nation of the Gibeonites, they have made peace with Joshua. Oh, wow. That's powerful. Some of you will catch that in about 10 seconds. They have made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Now, in the context of the story, we just read it and we go, okay, they made an agreement. Man, I was looking at this last night. I said, wow, that's so powerful. They have made peace. You know what that word peace is in the Hebrew language? Shalom. They made shalom with Yeshua. The name Joshua is the same name as our Savior, Jesus. They made peace with Jesus. That's really what was being said there, technically. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem. You know, back in those days, Jerusalem was a bad king. That was before David took over Jerusalem. Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, they joined forces and moved up with all their troops and took up positions against Gibeon and attacked it. Now look at verse 6. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, do not abandon who? Your servants. Your servants. What's he saying there? Hey, we're like your kin. We got an agreement. We got a pact. We got a covenant. We're your servants. Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. I want you to see in this story that these people were crying out based on covenant. Joshua had made a covenant with them that he wouldn't slaughter them. They were, in a sense, they were as good as his kin, his fam. Do you see that? The Gibeonites were like kin to Joshua. And they cried out, they said, hey, don't forget us. We got a covenant relationship with you. All these people are coming to attack us. And again, I love the commentary in verse 4. They had made shalom with Yeshua. What have you done? You have made peace with Jesus. Not based on your good works, but based on his blood. Amen. How can we have confidence calling on the name of Jesus? Because we're perfect, because we've done everything right? No. Because we need him.
Yes.
Because of his blood, because of who he is. We've made peace with him through his blood.
Yes.
Through the blood of Calvary. We can call confidently upon Jesus, just like the Gibeonites called confidently upon Joshua. Do you see it?
Yes.
You can have confidence calling on the name day or night. You say, my finances are a mess. I've done everything wrong. Great. Stop, drop, and roll. Call on the name of Jesus right now. Just quit trying to fix it yourself. Call on the name.
Amen.
Say, Jesus, yeah. Fix these finances. Jesus, fix this mess. You say, I've made a mess of my family. I've made a mess of my marriage. I've made a mess of this, mess of that. I quit my job. I did all the things wrong. Just please stop and say, Jesus.
Yes.
Cry out to Jesus. Yeah. Not because you deserve it, because you've done everything right, but because you need him. He is your Savior. The name of Jesus actually means Jehovah saves, not Jehovah scrutinizes. He's not going to stop and analyze you and say, well, let me see if you've done everything right. That's what Santa Claus does.
Amen. Yeah.
That's different. Jesus doesn't scrutinize. Jesus saves. His name literally means Jehovah saves. And I love it when you look closer, the name Jehovah, which is our English version of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, the Hebrew name Yahweh, because they didn't put vowels in there. We did. We Latinized the word. But the Hebrew consonants, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, mean behold the hand, behold the nail.
That's right.
What's he saying? Look at the one who's paid for your salvation. Don't look at yourself to see if you deserve salvation. Look at the one who took the nail to pay for your salvation. Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh, that's good preaching right there. I don't know if you want to amen it, but I will.
Amen.
Jesus paid to save you spiritually. Jesus paid to save you physically through healing. Jesus paid to save your messy finances. Jesus paid to save your messy marriage, your messy family, your messy everything. Jesus saves. He took the nail in his hand to clean up your mess and mine.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So don't look at yourself and say, do I deserve to call out to him? No, look at the hand that took the nail for you. Behold the hand and call out to Jesus.
Amen.
Call out to Jesus. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Jesus is praying his last prayer before he goes to the cross. It's a beautiful chapter, John chapter 17. So much in this chapter. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. John chapter 17, verse 10 through 12. Look at this. Read it slowly. John 17, 10. All that I have, this is Jesus talking to the Father, all that I have is yours, Father, and all that you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. What does Jesus consider his most prized possession when he says, through them? It's people. Hey, he walks streets of gold. He's got riches surrounding him up in heaven. But what does he value? Them. He's talking about people. Right? All that you have, all that I have is yours. All that you have is... excuse me, let me slow down. I need to slow down and tell you what I was going to do. All I have is yours. And all you have is mine, Father, and glory has come to me through them. Verse 11, I will remain in the world no longer. What's he doing? He's leaving. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to ascend to heaven. But they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. What does the name of Jesus do for you and I? It protects us.
Amen.
Listen, you're in covenant. You're in family. You're in agreement with Jesus, just like the Gibeonites were in agreement with Joshua. The name of Jesus is your covenant protection. He said, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. We're family. We're family. Amen. Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and I kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. The Lord reminded me in my quiet time the other day of a time when I was 9 years old, about 50 years ago, literally. I was about 9 years old and almost drowned. I'd forgot all about it. I mean, my mom wasn't there. I was at a summer camp. No one was around to help me, and I was swimming out to this platform. All these little tots were jumping off this platform into this lake, and then some kids were floating around the inner tubes. I could see it in my mind's eye, and I know that I was on the brink of drowning. I reached up for one of this kid's inner tube, and he pushed me back under. And I don't know how I got to that platform, but I got to that platform.
Yeah.
What is that? That's the Lord saving.
Amen. That's right.
Protection because of the name. I'd just been saved a year earlier. I was an 8-year-old boy when I got saved. He protects us by the power of his name.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
I'm telling you, the name of Jesus over your life and over mine is more protection than we know, more than we can fathom. If you need protection, the name is there for you. Amen?
Amen.
If you need help, the name is there for you. Proverbs 18:10, one last verse and we're going to wrap it up. Proverbs 18:10. This also was a song in the 80s. We had a lot of great scripture songs back then. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they are safe.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You played all kinds of games as you were kids. Played baseball, right? I don't remember that game we played where you all scatter and then there was like a tree or a pole. And you, if you are about to get caught, you could run to that pole. And the minute you touch it, you say what? Safe. That's Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a refuge. It's a strong tower. It's a place of safety. We can run to it.
Amen.
Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on where off of where you are disqualified, where you have failed, where you have stumbled, and run to the name.
That's right.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What's his name?
Jesus.
Listen, don't hesitate to use that name. You've been given that name.
Yes.
That name is yours to protect you, to help you in time of need, to redeem you. Redeem means unscramble the egg, that which is impossible.
Amen.
Unscramble the mess.
Amen.
Jesus is there to do that for you. Amen? Yes. Stand together with me.
Amen.
Today, some of you have some messes you're facing, some things, some situations that you're facing. You don't know what to do. You can call on the name.
Amen.
You can call on the name. We're going to do that for the next few moments just before you dismiss. We're going to do that here before we leave today. I want you to close your eyes with me. I know we're all saved that are here in the house today, so I don't feel the need to call for salvation. But if you don't know Jesus and somehow you got through the net, I didn't catch you. Come up afterwards. We'll talk about how to be saved. But I want to pray today specifically for those of you that have a mess or a situation that you're dealing with, you just don't have answers for. And Jesus has the answer for you. Jesus is the name you can call on. And we're going to take that situation to the Lord right now by faith. Right there where you're standing, you can do it from your heart. All you have to do is just hold out your hands before you as if you're presenting this situation to Jesus. Let's all do it. We've all got something in our life that isn't just right, something that needs perfection, something that needs improvement, something that needs His grace. We can call on the name for the perfecting of that area of our life. Will you do it with me today? I'm going to do it. You say, what is the pastor? It's none of your business. It's between me and the Lord.
That's right.
Just like I'm not going to ask you what your business is. But we can say, Jesus,
Jesus.
I call on your name.
You alone
can
save.
You alone can save.
You
are my strong tower.
My place of
refuge. I give you this mess, Lord.
I give you this
problem.
I lay it at your feet.
I give it to you, Jesus.
I call upon
you
because
I'm in covenant with you.
I'm your family.
Come and save.
Come and save,
Jesus. And just receive it right now. Romans 10:13, we read it earlier. Whoso calls on the name of the Lord shall be corrected, scolded, no, saved. We thank you, Lord, for saving us in every arena that needs your light, your truth, your holiness. Save us, Jesus. Just like you called on the name when you gave your life to Jesus, we never quit calling on that name. We'll be calling on the name for our whole life. You can be 70, 80, 90 years old. Something comes up, an incident comes up, and you'll be in a pressed position to cry out. Don't use a four-letter word at that moment. Use a five-letter word. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Call on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We'll be calling on that name our whole life. Amen? And it's there for us.
Amen.
We're family.
Amen.
You can call on the name. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, the Lord bless you today. Have a wonderful day in Jesus. And be blessed. Go forth. And as you need it, call on the name. Use the name for every situation in life. Amen? God bless you.